Okay, so today is Halacha Day. It is the 17th day of May, 2019, the 12th of Iyar, Tavshin Ayin Tes, and Halacha Day for Perek Chaf Hei of Midbar, the end of Pinchas, the story of Pinchas going, sorry, the end of Parshas Balak, the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, and the story of Pinchas's killing of Zimri and Kozbi. So we alluded to already the issue yesterday. The issue of, I understand why there is a Masorah of kill, and what exactly a Masorah is, maybe we'll get to, but there is a Masorah called Kanayim Pogimbo. Kanayim is zealots. Zealots are allowed to go and kill people that are involved in certain practices. One of those practices being having relations with a non-Jew. It's unclear whether public or maybe only public or maybe private, but certainly in public, even though it doesn't technically mean public, you know, it doesn't have to be that everybody's watching. It could be in a private place, but if you're publicly doing it, so a zealot has the right to go and kill you in the act. There's all sorts of details that the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin discusses. Like, for instance, that it's sort of an extrajudicial killing. So, for example, if Zimri would see him coming and would take out his gun and shoot Pinchas, that would be permissible to him. Because he's defending himself, he'd be allowed to do it. It's really an extrajudicial killing that is sanctioned by halacha. That seems to be the way to work it out. But we raised the question from the Or HaChaim yesterday, I thought a very interesting question, of, wait a second, I understand what Zimri killed. Zimri was violating the prohibition. We'll get to what the prohibition is shortly. But Zimri was in violation of the prohibition. What did Kozbi do? Why did Kozbi deserve to die? And the Or HaChaim had a suggestion. He says, well, the non-Jewish partner in this act is sort of considered like the animal of bestiality, and therefore would deserve to die as well. It doesn't necessarily mean that if it would go to trial, it would be, but it's unclear what the trial would be. Why? But it's unclear what the violation is. And that's what I want to speak about today. What exactly is the prohibition of intermarriage, right? So, Rabbi, what? Right? What is the issur? Right? Where does it say in the Torah, thou shalt not marry, I don't want to use bad words, so we'll just say Gentiles, right? What exactly is the nature of the prohibition, etc.? So, if you're the man married a woman, a woman married a man, there might be a distinction that maybe we'll get to, or maybe not. But there might be a difference. It might be worse for a man to marry a Jewish man to marry a non-Jewish woman than the other way around because of the kids factor. Correct. So that might be, but even that, I'm not sure the Rambam really makes that distinction. And also, in general, a woman's participation in a sexual act is sometimes seen as lesser just by dint of the fact that a woman has the ability to not be an active participant, but. That's not necessarily true. I mean, a woman would die as well for adultery if they are involved. Yeah.
So, like, the Shoftim and Moshe, they all married Gentile women.
Well, that was before the giving of the Torah.
Right. So, is it presumed that, what, they converted somehow? Or
it's before the giving of the Torah. Before the giving of the Torah. Now, the truth is, that might not solve the problem for reasons that we will shortly see. But let's just start with the premise. So, the premise. Right, so we spent many shiurim over Parshas Bereishis trying to figure out what the halachos were that the avos were keeping and what they weren't keeping. What does it mean that they kept halacha? Could be, but we certainly see clear violations of halacha. Right, Yaakov married two sisters. Right, that's not allowed. Why was that okay? So that's something that needs resolution, especially when you consider that our main recordings are the avos having boys. So in order to maintain the nation going forward, right, there needs to be girls coming in from someplace. So something has to happen, yeah?
How about Elazar? He married a
daughter of Eliezer?
Elazar,
you mean Aaron's son? How did he marry one of Yisro's daughters?
Yeah.
So one of two things. So either they, well, I'm not sure that's true. Why do you assume it was after the beginning of the Torah? Well, did Yisro come after the giving of the Torah? Well, chronologically in the Torah, Yisro comes before the giving of the Torah, right? Hence, the giving of the Torah is at the end of Parshas, right? But either way, so she might have converted. All the Jews converted at that time, right? So I'm not sure one can raise questions from that, but there is an early incident that does get some press with regards to this issue. But just as a premise, Rabbi Bleich actually has an article in the very first RJJ journal, the very first one that came out, I think in like 1981 or so. I don't have the date in front of me, but Rabbi J. David Bleich has an article entitled The Prohibition Against Intermarriage. And he details, I think, three specific areas where one could focus on in terms of defining the prohibition. But it really begins by saying that in reality, it's just not allowed. Right, and everybody knows that it's not allowed, and hamufureshes inam srichas raya, things that are clear don't require any proofs. So it's just like that's sort of the starting point that one can begin from. However, it's a little hard to operate under those types of suggestions, and he admits that, and therefore continues on. So the first first area that he discusses about a possibility of this prohibition being does actually, perhaps even, does predate the giving of the Torah. The Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav, discusses a gezeira from the basin of shame, this is going way back, about a Nachri being prohibited from marrying from entering into the Jewish people. This is in the context of that the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah discusses prohibitions of Bishlakum and Pasalkum and Yayin Nesach or Samyinam and Shemenakum, actually using oil of non-Jews, so we understand that prohibition never wasn't able to be continued on. But why are all these things considered to be prohibited? So at least one of the reasons for these things are Mishum Benoseyan, Mishum Chaslis, that a prohibition that we have a concern about intermarriage, so therefore we're going to make sure that we maintain our distinctions. So there... So the Gemara, where does it make that point? So yeah. So the Gemara actually suggests that maybe even marrying their daughters is not an issue. The Gemara has this very cryptic statement. You'll see. I mean, this is like the definition of cryptic, where the Gemara says the Aliyin Mishum Benosein. That why is it that the wine became prohibited? Because of the concern of their daughters. The Al Benoseihem, and why are there and the Gezeri against their daughters, or the prohibition regarding their daughters, is prohibited Mishum Davar Acher, right? And then it says the Al Davar Acher Mishum Davar Acher. And something else because of something else. So obviously this all is going to go back to, right? We're going to prohibit all these things less from mixed dancing. No? It all goes back to mixed dancing, right? That obviously must be... What? Right. But that's obviously a cryptic thing. But there's obviously some major prohibitions about. So Gemara asks, wait a second, Benoseihem Doraisehi. He says, well, aren't the Benoseihem, aren't they prohibited? The Pasuk tells us the Siv, Lo Tischatim Bam, that one is not allowed to intermarry with them. To which the Gemara responds by saying, well, that's not necessarily a proof. Was Doraisa, that prohibition, there is a prohibition in the Torah, that is in Devarim Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel, right? But there, it only says Doraisa Sheva Umos. Maybe that is the context of the psukim, about when you come into the land of Israel, one is not permitted to marry their daughters. Who's their daughters? So their daughters, the Gemara suggests, is referring to only the seven nations. Right? So therefore, they came along, referring to Shammai and Hillel, and they came and prohibited even other non-Jews. So that's interesting, right? What does that seem to imply? That seems to imply that the prohibition of intermarriage is a din d'rabbanan, lest you go ahead and marry one of the seven nations, right? That doesn't sound like it's like okay. That really what it is. So it continues the Gemara. It says, "Ula Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai." What about Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? Because he says that it's ki yasir es bincha miacharai, that he will turn your son away from me. What is that referring to? That's actually the very next pasuk. The very next pasuk says. Pasuk Dalad, Devarim Perek Zayin Pasuk Dalad, that and if that happens, that a non-Jew marries a Jewish girl, they're going to turn the boy away. So continues Rabbi Yochai, meaning they're not going to be Jewish anymore. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, so that comes to include all those who will turn that away. And who is that they're referring to? That's referring to all non-Jews. So you end up here having a machlokas. There is a pasuk, explicit pasuk in the Torah that says, lo tischatin bum, one is not permitted to marry them. The Gemara suggests that that's referring specifically to the seven nations based on the context of those psukim. But turns around Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and says, yeah, but the next pasuk says, lest you be turned away. What's that referring to? That's referring to any avodah zarah. Who could turn your kid to any avodah zarah, or your grandchildren potentially, to any avodah zarah? So suggests Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that's going to apply to all non-Jews, or at least to all ovdei avodah zarah. So Gemara suggests, well, then maybe the prohibition that was set aside by Hillel and Shammai, which is referred to earlier, maybe that's only, maybe the prohibition, the Doraisa is only if you get married, but if they're doing it Znus, that thing. So they say, no, Znus also is prohibited, that any promiscuity is prohibited based on the Basin of Shame. Basin of Shame, like Noach's kid. Right? The Chsiv by Yomri Yehuda Hutsiyu B'tisaret. Because it says that Yehuda, this is the right, Yaakov's son Yehuda. So when he found out about Tamar, that Tamar was pregnant, so what did Yehuda say? Yehuda said, let her take her out and be burnt. Right? Why? Well, why? Why does she deserve to be burnt? Where does that come from? So the Gemara is suggesting that this is a earlier gezerah that was imposed, and it's some sort of intermarriage issue. Right? This was that she, right? Tamar was the son-in-law of Yehuda. In order for Tamar to marry the son of Yehuda, Bruce wants to know, hey, wait a second, how can Yehuda's kids marry Tamar? Right? The answer is maybe she converted. Right? And if she converted...
I thought the problem was that she was a widow.
That's after the fact. Right? That's talking about that act. That's the issue. But how is she liable to this death in the first place? So what? Why did Yehuda get the paskin about her? Why does Yehuda have standing in this case? Right? But she's a Jewish girl. How's she a Jewish girl? She must have in order to marry Yehuda's children. Okay? There you go. So how is that okay? So the Gemara says, so it must have been that was already prohibited at a previous time. So the Gemara then comes, El Doraisa v'Chavam Baal Bas Yisrael, if you have a non-Jew that has relations with a Jewish girl, the Mashka Basa, because it will follow after her. And therefore, maybe it is, maybe that was only, what?
I'm sorry, I was just talking about it.
Right, that was prohibited. Val Yisrael, Baal, maybe that's prohibited. And maybe Beit Shammai and Hillel came and prohibited that. And the Gemara continues on trying to figure out exactly what they prohibited. They actually only prohibited Yichud. They actually only prohibited seclusion between men and women. But what do we see? We see here already from the time of shame, there was some kind of prohibition of intermarriage, maybe only one direction. But that already existed from the period of shame. So the Brisker Rav, right, the Griz, on his commentary on Chumash, suggests that that's what was going on with regards to the Shimon Levi. That was their permission. That was what they used in order to go ahead and kill the people of Shechem, right? That he said that they were all in violation, that Shechem was in violation of intermarriage because he was born this Jewish girl. That's why they were going to go after Shechem, and therefore why would they then go after everybody else? He said, well, that's because they, pretty much. Right. That's the... Well, then they would go with the conversion. I mean, the men had to have a milah. That's what he says. The men had to have a bris, and they didn't. But the bris has to be a lishma bris. That's what Kabbalah mitzvahs. They didn't do that. They just did the bris. This is what he says. They only did a bris because the king told them to. He said that's not sufficient. Therefore, they're not Jewish, and therefore would be subject to this perhaps only as collateral damage. So that is the issue. The most obvious pasuk that seems to prohibit intermarriage is that pasuk of losis chatin bam, but it is questionable who it applies to, right? How does it get resolved? So it seems like it's machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara says that explicitly says that only applies to the seven nations. And then the Gemara says, but according to Shimon Bar Yochai, it even applies to all of the avodah zarah. So how do you paskin? How do we decide when you have a dispute between the Chachamim and Shimon Bar Yochai? How do we decide that kind of dispute? So at first glance, I would say, well, we paskin like the Chachamim, right? The Chachamim are we have are the majority, therefore we should follow the majority over the minority. The interesting thing is that the Rambam paskins like Rishon Bar Yochai. The Rambam in Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Isuri Via Halacha Aleph says, what is this? That's not Hilchos Isuri Via. That was why do we know that non-Jews are not allowed to touch wine, and not to drink it. So that's the next section. Here we go. There it is. Yisrael Shebal Gaya, that a Jew who had relations with a non-Jew, Mishar Us, from the other nations, it sounds like any other nation, Derech Ishus, O Yisrael Shenivel El Gaya, or a Jewish girl who was Boel, who had relations with a non-Jewish man, Derech Ishus, in the way of marriage, Hare Ilu Lokin Min HaTorah, they get Malchus, Shenemar Los Hischatin Bam, based on that pasuk that we quoted from before, that you're not allowed to intermarry with them. Wait a second, that only applies to the seven nations. The Rambam says, no, it applies to everybody based on the next pasuk. That's why he quotes the next pasuk that seems to indicate that it has to do with your children being led astray. So the Kesef Mishnah raises this issue. It says, whoa, I said, time out. Why does the Rambam do that? That's not the general Kali Hapsak, to which he digs up a Gemara elsewhere where it seems to imply that it's prohibited there as well, a Gemara Maseches Kedushin, where he says, from there you see, that's where the Rambam saw that really we pass like a Rishon Bar Yochai over the Chachamim. But not everybody paskins this way. The Tur raises this question on the Rambam. By the way, the Rambam prohibited there Derech Ishus, in the way of marriage. So the Tur comes along and says, he says, first of all, why is he passing like the Chachamim why is he passing like the Rishon Bar Yochai over the Chachamim, A? And B, right, what does it mean, Derech Ishus? Halacha doesn't recognize a marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew. So how could you potentially have that type of formulation? So rather, the Beis Yosef says, what is prohibited? Marrying one of the seven nations, La'achar Shiniskairu, after they convert. I mean, the seven nations are not, maybe they're allowed to go, but you're not allowed, you're not allowed to marry them. Even if they do a conversion, we're still concerned, it sounds like, we're still concerned about what's going to happen, and therefore you're not allowed to marry them. That's what the Torah claims is the prohibition based on the Torah. So you're left with a little bit of a question, So then what is the prohibition? Where is the prohibition of intermarriage? So the other very famous Gemara that is often invoked when discussing this, the Rambam says straight out that it's based on that pasuk, but the Torah disagrees. So the other pasuk the other Gemara that is often invoked with regards to this issue is from our pasuk, but we're talking our section of Chumash, the sugya of Kenayim Pogimbo. That Kenayim, that zealots are permitted to go ahead and kill these people while they are involved in the act. So obviously, if zealots are allowed to go ahead and kill these people while they're involved in the act, so obviously there must be some type of prohibition that is involved. And the Gemara makes reference to a pasuk in Malachi, where it discusses this profanation that takes place. That's the premise that begins the discussion of Kenayim Pogimbo, this pasuk in Malachi that alludes to all of these prohibitions. So what then happens if you violate it? So the Gemara suggests that, well, if you violate it, you're chayiv. If someone kills you on the spot, you're allowed to. Rav Moshe, by the way, has a tshuva where he was asked about this, like, does Kenayim Pogimbo apply? Is there any application today? Like, how does that work? So Rav Moshe says, well, in order for that to take place, just going over and killing somebody for doing this, right, there's a very important feature that needs to take place, and that is the first word, that the person has to be a Kenai. The person has to be a zealot. Now, do we look good upon zealots or bad upon zealots? Well, we'll look bad upon zealots unless they have no ulterior motives. So Rav Moshe is pretty much like, well, you know, good luck finding that guy, Bizman Hazet. Right, so that's not going to be an easy thing to do. But yet, based on this pasuk in Malachi, the suggestion is that the person is chayiv kares medivrei kabbalah. That's it. The person would be liable for kares. Kares is excommunication based on a pasuk. Now, kares is the Torah is one thing, but this is based on a pasuk in Malachi. We refer to that as divrei kabbalah. So kares be divrei kabbalah. That's going to be the prohibition, and it's clearly prohibited. I mean, it's clearly then accepted as being prohibited going forward. We learned in shul a couple of years ago. Already now, it's been a couple of years, Ezra and Nehemiah. And Ezra and Nehemiah is filled with this challenge. Ezra and Nehemiah, both of them are going after the Jewish people, telling them you have to divorce your non-Jewish wives, which is which is like startling. Like we learn Tanakh, we see all these people in Tanakh are these guys walking around with bekishes and strimals and the biggest tzaddikim in the world. Like there is a huge intermarriage rate comparable to what, like from learning the text in those books, it's like comparable to America, Bisman Azeh. Like that was, that's, like he's talked to them as if you guys are all married to non-Jews. This is the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, right? This is talking about the people who built the second Beis Hamikdash. That's who Ezra and Nehemiah are coming and chastising them about how they have to, you know, get themselves straight and get rid of your wives that are not Jewish. So there clearly is this assumption. However, there's one last detail that needs to then be worked out in, and that is the Kenayan Pogamo might only apply if it is being done in public. And that is actually suggested. That's the machlokas amongst the notes of Kelim and Shulchan Aruch. The Chalkas machlokas seems to suggest that it might only be done a violation if it's done in public. While the Beis Shmuel says that no, the Beis Shmuel on the other side says that no, that we don't make any distinction between public and private. The Zerei Bleich then, however, makes the point based on the Tshuva, the Maram Shik, and the Maritz Chias. Now, what's most interesting about them is that they're already living in a period of intermarriage. They're already in the Maritz Chias and the Maram Shik was a toddler of the Ksam Sofer, right? So these are already people living in the 1800s that are dealing with the growth of reform and emancipation of the Jewish of the Jewish people's quote-unquote emancipation in Europe. And already this is starting to take place. So they actually have to deal with this Levisa. And they both make the point that, you know, maybe there might be a distinction with regards to Kenayan Pogumbo between public and private. That's a machlokas, but he says with regards to the prohibition, but that's not necessarily, that's somewhat academic, Bizman Azeh, when we're talking about intermarriage. Meaning, it's one thing to talk about relations between the two, but if it's in the context of intermarriage, intermarriage by definition is a public act, right? And what's the proof? So, for example, we talked about Esther. The Gemara famously discusses Esther. How could Esther go and be with Ahasuerus? Where's the well? You know, and the Gemara specifically raises the point of it being a public act. Now, there's no indication in the Gemara that Esther and Ahasuerus cohabited in public in front of everybody. What does it mean that it was a public act? A public act, and that they were publicly married to one another. And our assumption is that when people are publicly married to one another, privately they're having relations with one another, which is part also enters into this whole homosexual marriage acceptance into the Jewish community debate that's going on today. If one goes around and reads the Jewish blogosphere and things like that, right? It's very hard to distinguish. You can't just say, well, they're a happy family and we're going to ignore what they do in the privacy of their bedroom. No. Being a family includes, by definition, what's going on in the privacy of their own bedroom. And that's an obvious statement that what's going on, that has to be taken into effect, has to be factored in when trying to figure out how to, incorporate involve these types of people in Yiddishkeit. There's one more issue that's discussed: the pasuk of Lo Yeh Kadesh, the prohibition of which is really that shall not be promiscuous. The Jewish people, that is a specific. Now it's unclear what that pasuk is referring to. It might just be referring to prostitution and things of perhaps things like that. But it certainly is, but that sort of is the sugya, in very brief form, of the prohibition of intermarriage. He does quote here at the end of the story an important, a well-known story which bears repetition from Rabbi Emanuel Jacobowitz's The Problem of Intermarriage, where he tells the story of a young man who walks over to an older person and asks him in a train station and says, can you tell me the time? So the guy like looks up at him and doesn't say anything. So I ask you the time. He doesn't say anything. He says, no, can you tell me the time? Why aren't you telling me what time it is? He says, well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm a little nervous. I tell you what time it is, then we're going to start talking. If you start talking, you're going to sit next to me on the train. If you sit next to me on the train, so then you might get off at the same stop as me. You might end up in my house. You might be my daughter. My daughter happens to be very attractive. You're around the same age. And you might end up marrying her. To which the guy says, well, like, what's wrong with that? Like, you know, you're a Jew and I'm a Jew. Like, we'll get married. To which he says, well, I don't want a son-in-law that doesn't own a wristwatch. Right? So when one is actually getting into the sugya of dealing with a actual intermarriage, so that often is way past the period when one is able to to actually deal with it, and therefore the importance of chinuch and basic education, all those types of things, to be able to make sure people have the right education and being able to deal with this issue when time comes up. All right, so have a good Shabbos, and we'll continue Mirsa Hashem Monday.